Today, we'll try and find EVs for a soccer dad with a heavy right foot and someone in the UK that wants a whole new EV driveway. Welcome to Battery Bargains from the team behind the Batteries Included podcast, normally hosted by Dom. He's travelling right now. And so you've got us. You've got Martin and Tom this week. I won't do Dom's whole intro because, well, mainly I haven't got his script. But either way, what we do on this show is find battery bargains for our listeners, for our viewers, three a week. You can get in contact. I'll give you the details later on in the podcast. If you want to go EV, maybe you want to change your electric vehicle, we hope that we can use our knowledge and experience of being around as EV enthusiasts and buyers and drivers over many, many years to help you find the perfect EV. But Tom, we can't get into this show without me mentioning what is over your left-hand shoulder. That looks awfully Cybertrucky.
Oh, wow. I didn't even notice that. Jeez. Somebody must have just pulled up. Is Kyle here?
Who knew? What are you doing? Is it yours? What are you doing with it?
So, no, I actually rented it on Turo for the week so I could do some range testing, charge recordings. I'm going to do a comparison video comparing it to my F-150 Lightning, have some fun with it, you know, and I am having fun with it so far. And I'm telling you right now, I'm going to recommend a Cybertruck to all three of these cases. I'll talk about other vehicles too, but I'm going to say get yourself a Cybertruck. So fair warning.
Kyle reckons it's an attention magnet. Would you agree?
That would be saying the sun is warm. It is crazy. I said this to you earlier. Pull up into like a place where there's a lot of people walking around in that thing. I couldn't get more attention if I was like Brad Pitt driving a Ferrari. You get mobbed instantly. Now, I know that's going to go away eventually, but right now there's very few of these in New Jersey. There's only a handful of them where I live. And it wasn't one of the early delivery states. So everywhere I go, there's cameras out. There's people asking me questions. It's nuts. I was having trouble just getting a charge recording at the supercharger because the vehicle just got mobbed. And I'm like, guys, I need to shoot a video. Please just step back for a few minutes. You know. So yeah, it gets attention.
Wow. That will go away, like you say, but for now, I can't think of anything else really on the road that gets that attention, because if I see a supercar or if I see, you know, a Koenigsegg or a Pagani Zonda or something just ridiculously stupid, I'll look at it and be like, nah, that's nice for you. Like, I'm never going to own one of those. And I got no interest in looking through the window to see. I live somewhere where there's nice houses around and you do see supercars and, you know, what have you, or people, you know, have some nice motors, but nothing would get that a level of attention than a Cybertruck.
Yeah, no, I haven't witnessed anything, and I've driven a lot of really nice cars. One of the byproducts of doing what I do, I get to drive all these crazy cars. You know, when I was younger, my uncle had a DeLorean and he used to let me borrow it all the time. And that got a crazy amount of attention back in the late 80s, as you can imagine. But this is in its own class. I thought the Hummer EV got a lot of attention when I drove that. But there's nothing like this. It's a mob scene everywhere you go.
All right, let's get into we look forward to seeing those videos. By the way, I know you are busy making those videos and doing your writing, your reports as well for Inside EVs and on your channel, State of Charge. So we look out for those. And let's get into battery bargains for this week. And email number one comes from Bob Olson, who says that in 11 months, he'll replace his rear-wheel drive, extended range rear-wheel drive Mustang Mach-E. Likes the frunk, likes wireless CarPlay, likes the driver's side screen and the big range of 300 miles, at least in the summer, would like faster DC fast charging. Yep, fair to say that the Mach-E could be benefiting from faster charging, better handling, and a smoother ride. I like the Arnix 5 and 6. The frunks are anemic. They lack wireless CarPlay. And Kyle has cited software with an inability to navigate to DC fast chargers. My brain says Porsche, says Bob Olson. But my wallet says lease an EV with an MSRP no higher than 55K. Do you know of any forthcoming EVs that might check all of my boxes? No, actually, I don't know of any EVs that check all of them. You mentioned that you want the range, that you want good handling, and I very highly rate the BMW i4 chassis, and you haven't even got to go M50. Get the xDrive 40. It's got the big battery. It peaks at something like 205 kilowatts DC fast charging. It has wireless CarPlay, and it doesn't have a frunk at all. You can buy third-party frunks for them, which are custom molded, not for the M50 version, because I think it's got some different suspension up front. It fills up what would be the engine bay. But you can buy those third parties. So no, I can't think of anything that ticks all of the boxes, Bob, but I would, you know, if the Frunk is a deal breaker, then I've made a mistake in recommending the i4. But I think to go from a Mustang Mach-E, rear-wheel drive, extended range, you've got the big battery. But I think to go to an i4 xDrive 40, you get wireless CarPlay, you get all the goodness of that BMW chassis, you get very fast charging, great handling, a very smooth ride if you want it. And Tom, I know that on your travels, you drove the M4, maybe even a first drive. Would that be a good recommendation? What else can you think of for Bob here?
Yeah, I love the BMW i4. I really, really enjoyed that, the media drive, and also just driving it. Absolutely. And looking at his list, as you mentioned, it's really hard to check all those boxes. The Frunk is harder than you would imagine, because there's not a lot of big Frunks out there. There really isn't. I mean, Tesla has always done good Frunks. It sounds like you're not interested in a Tesla, say, Model Y, which would kind of do a lot of what you're asking, other than the soft ride. Wireless Apple CarPlay also. Yeah. So yeah, I was really thinking IONIQ 6.
Yep.
You know, you talked about the Frunk size on that, though. So, you know, that everybody has their own things. That wouldn't bother me that it doesn't have a big Frunk, because it has a good amount of storage otherwise. So, you know, I mean, it's tough there. The i4, what Martin mentioned, is a good choice. I like the IONIQ 6 for what you're talking about. You mentioned Porsche. I mean, the Taycan doesn't have a big Frunk either, but and that's out of your price range. So, I mean, I'd really consider the IONIQ 6, to be honest with you. And I know you mentioned her Kyle-sided software inability to navigate to DC fast chargers. I mean, I typically use my apps to do that. I know everybody does differently. I very rarely trust the in-car software to do that. Although it has been getting better on some of the cars. So, you know, I don't know. I'm still thinking IONIQ 6, because that's going to check a lot of your boxes. It has a great drive. Do you really want to get rid of the Mach-E, the long range Mach-E? It other than maybe the slower charging, which doesn't have really great charging. I love the real world drive long range Mach-E's. I mean, they're consistently getting over 300 miles of range. You know, I'd almost tell you to hold on to it for a little bit longer, but it sounds like you made up your mind. Gun to the head, I'd say IONIQ 6. Probably myself.
Thinking through everything that he wants, which is big range, Lightning comes with that, driver side screen, wireless CarPlay. Obviously, we don't get the Ford F-150 Lightning, but doesn't Sync 4 have wireless CarPlay in the F-150 Lightning? I think it does.
Yeah. Yes, sure. It does. Yeah. I use my wireless Android Auto too, so.
It charges like a beast. The F-150 Lightning it handles really well. I've only been in one left-hand drive version, obviously, that was imported into the UK. And features to keep a generous Frunk. Well, that is the hidden gem, really, in that thing. So,
and the smooth ride.
Very smooth ride. So, again, I know he said about leasing under 55K. So obviously, you know, you can't get the pro trim now. They've got the new flash trim, but that's 20 grand above what you're talking about. So maybe a used one, but
Martin, I've seen dealers marking these down.
No
and
way.
I've seen XLTs with the extended range battery pack to, you know, after you consider the federal tax rebate, down in the low 50s. Brand new.
Okay. Well, so, I think you should add it to the list. I mean, it's going to be a different beast to the Mustang Mach-E, but it ticks the boxes. It's got the wireless. Anyway, right, let's move on. If you'd like to get hold of this show and we can help you out, you can email us batterybargains@batteriesincludedpodcast.com. I'll leave it on screen for a little bit longer for our YouTube viewers, for our audio listeners. Batterybargains@batteriesincludedpodcast.com. All right, let's get into our second email of the week. And I should probably have some decent answers for this one, because it comes from the southwest of the UK, which is pretty much where I am. This is Chris. He has an MG ZSE. But the 2023, last year's model, so that's the newer version, trophy long range, nice car actually, and a 2019 Leaf. MG is too small, with the second child on the way. Could get 35 grand optimistically for both of those two cars if you sell them, to give you a budget for a whole new driveway. He's asking, do you get a high mileage 100,000 miles Model X for under 25k, which is tempting. Do the right-hand drive models have build quality issues as they were not mass-produced? Interesting question. Get Tom's opinion on that in a moment. Would this would leave us around 6K for the second car, like an older Renault Zoe. Another option could be swap the MG for an Audi e-tron. Southwest of the UK he lives in, mileage is 20 miles to commute a couple of times a week, a 200-mile site survey trip occasionally for work. His wife does a similar commute, and the odd family like staycation of 250 miles. So yeah, you know, you're not, this is not a road trip monster that you need to do here. I've got experience of that. I've got two kiddos, 2 and 6. I've got an MG ZS. It's a 69 plate, so it's a 5-year-old car now, so it's not the one you've got, but I find that big enough for a family. But Tom, I want to get your particular thoughts on buying an old 100,000-mile Tesla Model X. What would be your pros and cons of that decision?
So the pros are it's inexpensive and it's a Tesla. The cons are, I don't know. I probably would recommend against that. A super high mileage Model X. The X's seem to have more like niggles and problems than the other Teslas, particularly those Falcon doors, the older models. You could be in for big repair bills if you have issues with the vehicle. I would probably stay away from, you know, an older Model X with high mileage personally. I mean, if you really want to get a Tesla, I mean, the Model Ys are pretty big. Inside, it's not quite as big as an X, but they're big. I'd lean in that direction, but I don't know, Martin. I would probably tell them, advise against buying a high mileage older Model X.
I agree. When we came to replace, when we ended up with the Polestar at the beginning of this year, I went shopping for a Model 3 long range refresh, and went to see my buddy, who many of our viewers would know. He has his own YouTube channel as well, Richard Simons from RSEV, very close to me, sells loads of Teslas, loads of EVs these days. And so I popped over there. He had the perfect Tesla that I wanted, and he had the long range Model 3 refresh. Lovely. And didn't end up getting it because we got the Polestar, but he also had in stock an old Model X, and you can get a load of car for your money. I think he had even a 6-seater configuration, which is nice. It felt spacious. It was really big. I love the Model X to drive that car. But and if it was somebody else's money, I'd say, yeah, go for it, because you're going to get a great car. Spending my own money on a car that was, I don't know if it's out of warranty or not, but I didn't want to take on Tesla, who I see plenty of people go to Tesla and say, I've got XYZ problems. And they say, you know, you just do it by text or in the app. You can't even speak to a human. And they're like, no, denied, go away. And so I wouldn't risk it at all. So no, I'd rule that one out. Audi e-tron, depends what trim you want to get. But yeah, we haven't got the crazy depreciation that you have, but our e-trons over here still around maybe 30 grand. So yeah, that's a good shout. Then as for yours, definitely look at e-trons. Definitely look at e-trons, because you can get a load of space for that. Coming down in price, but probably not cheap enough, is the Mercedes-Benz EQC. That's also a good vehicle. It's also big, but very luxurious. And you have two young kiddos, my friend. And, you know, the worst thing about children, love them as I'm sure you do, they smush food into everything. So that the EQC is a very nice car to have food smushed into. Have a look at the Audi. I wouldn't go with Tesla. And then other cars that you could go for. I mean, the ID4, it's quite big. That could be okay.
Martin, how about this? He was talking about e-tron, and you're recommending ID4. You know, we have the Q4 e-tron,
which is
like the e-tron version of the ID4. I actually like that vehicle. I know Kyle doesn't like it. I enjoyed my time in that. I don't know what the used prices are over there, over in the UK, but that could be a good alternative.
Yeah, I've not looked. Also, Skoda Enyaq. I know you rented one on a family holiday, and you were really impressed.
I was really impressed. I had it in Italy for 2 weeks and no, actually about 10 days. And I really, really enjoyed it. I'm not familiar with the European brands. I don't drive them that often. I thought it was kind of like a lower trim than Volkswagen, the Skoda. But I found out, no, it's like an upscale ID4. So yeah, I would recommend looking at the Enyaq for sure, if you can get one at a decent price.
Second car wise, the Zoe's a great shout, by the way. I look for the I models, because that designates battery owned. I've had two Zoe's in the past. Both of them were battery lease, and First one, no problem. The second one, they stuffed up the paperwork. They were charging both of us. So the new people were getting charged, the whatever it was, £39 a month for the battery lease. And I was still getting charged. And then I just said to them in the end, well, I will just cancel my direct debit from my bank account. And they said, well, you can't do that. You have a credit, because you sign a credit agreement. It's either a 1 year, 2 year, three, whatever it is. But it's effectively a credit agreement that you're then paying back monthly, just the way that the finances work. Now, look, Renault Financial Services are trying to get out of that whole business. So I got several calls as a Zoe owner saying, do you want to buy the battery? And the price was just ridiculously big. I'm like, no, I'll give you 39 quid a month. And I, you know, I'm fine with that. They really stuffed up me selling that car, and I wouldn't do it again just because I had a horrible experience and they weren't that helpful. We got it nailed in the end because I said, if you are still charging me for a battery in a car, I will arrange for it to be collected and brought back to my house. And they're like, well, you can't do that because you've sold it. And I'm like, well, I'm doing it. I knew where it had gone. And they were like, okay, it's fine. I can see that the new owner is paying the monthly fee. So we can cancel yours. Oh, thank you. Thank goodness. But it got really, really horrible towards the end. But yeah, get an iModel, get an owned one. Old Renault Zoes, great reliability on that. And they're like little go-karts flying around towns. That's a good shout.
You know what this person really needs though, Martin?
What?
A Cybertruck.
Oh, yes.
I think that would be the I could see them in that Cybertruck. Be a perfect vehicle for them.
You're so sold on the Cybertruck now that you've got
it's
one.
It's within their budget, too, I think.
Maybe those wooden ones that you see on social media that some chap in Poland has made as a tribute. Right, let's get on to the third one. This is from Dan and family. Just sold his Lexus ISF. Four kids. You've been busy, my friend. Four kids, and I need more than just four seats. No car seats anymore. They're getting a little bit older, but booster seats. So he needs a proper five-seater or even more. Wants to go EV. Wants an SUV but can be flexible. Looking for, here's your shopping list, reliability, low depreciation with a warranty, and something that sets it apart from all the others, which is why he liked his Lexus, because it was rare and it was powerful. And he says it has a short daily commute, rare 200-mile trips, mostly just looking after the soccer game runs and stuff like that. Cannot afford a Rivian R1S or a new Model X because the budget's around 45K. I feel like a Model Y is becoming too common. I enjoyed a test drive in the F-150 Lightning, but I don't need a truck bed. Help this soccer dad with a heavy right foot, says Dan and family. Oh, now I was right with you until 45K, and now it feels a little bit like a tough one because you want a lot. I mean, you weren't overly prescriptive on what you need, but you need space. And unfortunately, bigger EVs are expensive. Because you could say, oh, Kia EV9, perfect for you. It's different. You'll get noticed. It's quirky. But it's starting at 54 now.
And there's not a lot of them out there that are used yet.
No.
You know, if this was this time next year, if you could hold off a little bit longer, you might be able to get an EV9 in that price range. We know that the electric vehicles haven't been doing well depreciation-wise. They've been dropping like a rock, the prices. So, That's something to consider. That you do have a tough list. We're getting a lot of these tough laundry lists of asks, Martin.
It's what we're here for.
Nothing really jumps out. I love the fact that he drove a Lightning and liked it. And it says he doesn't really need a truck bed. Well, just that's okay. You don't need it to have it. You could put one of those hard tonneau covers on the back. And it's secure dry storage. And now it's almost like having a giant trunk. So, if you can get a used one, maybe a lower trim like an XLT or something out there in that price range, I think you can. You're not far from some of the deals that I've seen. $45,000 isn't that far from some of the dealers on new Lightnings on the lower trims, for sure. And I mean, you're going to have a super comfortable ride, tons of room. The back seat, has so much space for the kids. So that's something to consider. Model Y, I know we keep recommending that. Model Y and Audi e-tron, I know we throw those around a lot, but there's a reason we do, because they're in a good price range. They have a lot of utility. They have a lot of space, both of them. There's a lot of them out there available. And the more that are on the market, the better negotiating position you're in to get one at a good price. So, I mean, that's kind of the direction I would look in. But if you could try to get a Lightning, I mean, I know I'm the Lightning hawk here. You know, take another close look at that because I think you'll be happy with it. Oh, and also get a Cybertruck. That's probably the best vehicle for you, the Cybertruck.
Get two. One for weekdays, one for weekends. The thing is, we say you don't need a truck bed. I hadn't realized that actually if you get that hard cover, is that a third-party accessory then? That doesn't.
Yeah, I know Ford sells them also, but okay. I think the better ones are the accessories you get from some of these third-party companies.
Because that makes sense to me because then if it's secure and it's locked, it's like having an estate car. Like, you can't reach through to the back and get something out of the boot on a long journey if the kids are hungry or something. But like, that doesn't bother me. And honestly, so I've only been in the Lightning once, but it is cavernous. It is an enormous vehicle. And up front, you've got loads of elbow room, plenty of room in the back for three proper seats. It is really big. And also the thing that no one talks about with the Lightning is even in base specs, really quick, like really good performance. Absolutely. And I think it would tick boxes. So even though you don't need a truck bed, and it could just be down to, I don't want to be a truck guy or a truck family, or my wife might not want to be a truck gal. And that's okay. So we understand that. Model Y, I don't think you can look past it. So Model Y's had some amazing prices recently. And then at the beginning of this month that we were in April, the prices went up again. And then like 2 weeks later, whenever it was, prices came down again because it's no secret. Tesla can't hide it. They've got overcapacity at the moment and they've got a lot of vehicles in inventory and they want to get rid of it. And so those Model Ys with the federal tax credit, you haven't even got to get long range. Like, if you don't need that range, and I just need to pop it up on screen again. I rarely do 200-mile days. So, look, that is, you could even get the basic one, and you are looking at mid-30s. Get the long range, you're looking at mid to late 30s. And that is really good value, really good value. And we do
really
come back
is.
To them. Man,
you're not going to get anything that's close to that value wise, I think. And you're worried about them being too common. Yes, they're common. It's the number one selling car in the world. So there's a lot of them, but you can get one for such a good price. You could spend a couple $1,000s, maybe customizing it a little bit so it looks distinctive. Maybe get it wrapped a color that's not available in Teslas. I did that with my Model 3 because they were so common. I had it a matte silver wrap and it really popped. Because it was different than everything else out there. So, you know, maybe you spend an extra $3,000 and get a really cool color that's not available and, you know, won't look quite as common as all of the other Model Ys that are out there. But it's hard to beat the Model Y right now for value. It really is.
Ioniq 5 is also big. Ioniq 5 is a big vehicle. 3 meter exactly wheelbase. More room in that than you'd think. Some stunning deals from Hyundai and Kia. At the moment, they are subbing in the $7,500 federal tax credit, which you don't get on those vehicles, but they're putting that in themselves until the vehicles are made in North America. And so you'd be surprised how big it is, but maybe not as big as you were hoping for. But do have a look at that vehicle. It charges really well. The Ioniq 5 is so good as well.
Yeah. Can't think the Y's got a little more interior volume than the... Yes. Than the Ioniq 5, but it is big. It's deceivingly big. It looks like it's almost like a small hatchback, but when you get up to it, it's a proper crossover. It's got a lot of space, the Ioniq 5, for sure. And Martin mentioned about how the Hyundai is rolling in the federal tax credit. You can get that on any EV that qualifies for the federal tax credit if you lease it. If you purchase it, then they have to roll it in. But there's that leasing loophole. So if the vehicle does qualify for the federal tax credit, I mean, if it was, you know, had the battery sourced here and all that, what I mean is if you qualify for it, your income and the cost of the vehicle qualifies for it, you can get it on any electric vehicle, even ones that don't qualify technically, if you lease it.
And Rivian just started their lease deals in more places than ever before. So you might want to buy a vehicle, and I understand that. If your heart isn't set on buying, then you're right. The Rivian R1S would be, I mean, that would be a dream. have a look at the lease deals, because Rivian are expanding their lease deals to more and more states, and it could be that it works out for you. Well worth a look. I hope that's helped. I hope it's out. And of course, you need the two Cybertrucks, obviously.
His and hers.
Thank you so much.
You can't beat it. It's $102,000. You know, you can't beat that deal. You know, we're talking about deal. The Model Y being a good deal. You know, you can't beat that.
Such a good deal. As long as the bits don't keep falling off of it, they'll get that sorted, I'm sure. If you want to get your email featured on the show in a future week, when Dom is back as your regular host, then you can email us batterybargains@batteriesincludedpodcast.com. And you never know which one of the gang, or two or three or four sometimes, and sometimes the gang from out of spec and guests jump on this podcast. You never know who's going to be answering your email. But we do try and get to as many as we can in as timely way as we can as well. Thank you so much for watching and listening this week. If you're watching this on YouTube and you're not subbed to the channel yet, it's free, so why wouldn't you subscribe? You get our regular Friday podcast and of course any bonus midweek ones as well. If you're listening on your audio platforms, then I hope you are subscribed already in all the usual podcast platform places. Thank you so much for watching and listening, and we'll see you soon.